May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of Numbers, part of chapter 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 13. We'll commence at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up by this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended up by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. They brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness, by the way of the Red Sea. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise, margin, altering of my purpose. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil generation, congregation, that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. O Lord, God Almighty, the ever-living God, for all the nations dead, O enable us to come to thee rightly, draw us to thee, Lord, in that one and only way of approach. Draw me, we will run after thee. O, we pray thy good spirit may be with us here this evening, that we may prosper in the way whereby we go. Lord, that thou wouldst make thy word in our hearts a living word. Speak it with power, with understanding, Lord. O Lord, do grant faith to be mixed with what we hear, that faith that cometh by hearing, the hearing of thy voice. Oh, be not silent to us. Thou spared us in thy mercy, permitted and enabled us once more to meet around thy word. Lord, help us solemnize each of our hearts and minds now with the realization, the solemnity of that which we profess to be about, the worship of God. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst seek us out to worship thee, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst bring us to that true worship in spirit and in truth, that we may be raised above ourselves, saved from ourselves, our own thoughts, our own understanding, which is misunderstanding. Oh, Lord, make us wise. Lord, do interpret to us the scriptures. Do apply the word with power to our hearts, saving power, delivering power, sanctifying power, justifying power. O Lord, that power that thy servant Moses pleaded for, forgiving power. O Lord, for our iniquities are many. Lord, we cannot throw stones at any. We cannot throw stones at that people of whom we have read this evening. O Lord, we beg mercy. We plead, Lord, save us. Save us from our own spirit. Save us from unbelief. Save us, Lord, from discrediting Thee, Thy word, Thy promise. Oh, save us from believing the lies of Satan. Save us from the deceitfulness, the treacherousness of our own hearts. Oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord, do give that true faith, that faith which is by Thee, Lord Jesus, that faith which is in Thee, Lord Jesus, oh, that faith which is effectual, that faith which is always, which always works by love, and is joined to repentance. And Lord, those other blessed graces of Thy Holy Spirit, all springing out of that blessed fullness which is in Thee, Lord Jesus. Do help us here this evening. We are not sufficient of ourselves in speaking or in hearing. Do be our sufficiency. Oh, may Thy name be glorified. May God be worshipped in the person of His Son. Oh, Lord, may sinners be saved, the dead quickened into life. Lord, the careless made to tremble, the hard-hearted, impenitent, unconcerned, brought, Lord, to a gracious concern, to penitence, to godly sorrow, Lord, to real spiritual anxiety. Oh, may the seekers be finders. Lord, may those that have prayed in coming here receive the answer to their petitions, yea, more than they ask or even think. Oh, may then Thy church be edified. May there be a building up through the coming unto Thee, Lord, the living stone. They also as lively stones be built up, a spiritual house, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray for the virtue of Thy one sacrifice, Lord. Oh, we pray. Let the power of Thy sin-atoning death, the power of Thy sin-atoning blood, be put forth upon us to purge us, to cleanse us, oh, to renew us, to soften us, oh, to make us love Thee, God, oh, to make us adore Thee, oh, to cause us to forsake all other, Lord, and follow hard after Thee, to esteem Thee above all other. Lord, unto those that believe, Thou art precious. Oh, make Thyself
more and more precious. Lord, some of us hope thou hast begun to do this, but Lord, oh, what base heart wanderings. Lord, what goings again after this world and its things, after idols. Forgive us, Lord, and grant that gracious return, that real repentance, and all that restoring. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation, and uphold us with thy free spirit. Oh, we plead for this people. Lord, they each have precious, never-dying souls. We must each, Lord, soon either be in heaven or hell. Oh, we plead, if it would please thee, let none perish. Let none descend to that awful place we each deserve to be in. But, O Lord, let thy mighty invincible arm and thy almighty spirit, putting forth the power of thy almighty Son, rescue each one. Lord, we plead then, may the word here be blessed to this end. Lord, we plead for our young. Lord, do manifest the living, those whom thou hast quickened. Oh, may there be a going on to know the Lord. May there be, Lord, oh, a manifestation of thy work, a coming of to fruition of those exercises thou hast begun. Lord, where there is nothing begun by thee, oh, in mercy begin. Lord, and we pray that thou wouldst grant that thy people, young and old, may be made fruitful. Lord, 'tis thy purpose. Thou hast said so. Ye should bear much fruit. Your fruit should remain. O Lord, come, we pray, hear the petitions in the hymn. Come, thou south wind, blow upon thy garden. The spices thereof may flow forth. O Lord, do let the beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. O, may there be that abiding in thee by thy abiding in us. O, may there then be that bringing forth of fruit through communion with thee, Lord. O, receiving out of thy fullness that blessed, invigorating, life-giving, fruit-producing sap. O Lord, do come. Oh, will thou not revive us again? Lord, we plead for the gathering of thine elect, from wherever they are in the four corners of the earth, Gentiles and Jews. O Lord, may that word be fulfilled. May we be favoured to see it, to feel it in our own cases. The great trumpet shall be blown. Oh, help thy servants, Lord. Pour on them thy spirit. There may be a certain sound to the trumpet, and they shall come, which are ready to perish, out of the land of Egypt and of Assyria, those outcasts, and shall worship thee, Lord, in that holy mount at Jerusalem. Lord, do mercifully deliver. Lord, we pray for those who are in captivity, held fast in Satan's chains. Lord, save in this night to such. Loose him and let him go. O Lord, we pray, help them. Pour upon them thy spirit. Oh, one put it in verse, art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man that that break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Go with thy chains about thy neck. Fall at Jesus' feet. O Lord, we pray, bring sinners to thy feet tonight, Lord. Oh, to worship at Emmanuel's feet. Lord, thou didst see when thou wast here on earth, and thou still dost it now. O Lord, we pray, do grant thy name may be glorified in the earth in this way. Lord, do bless this people with spiritual prosperity. We thank thee for thy mercies to them, where thou hast granted healing mercy, strengthening mercy. Oh, we would thank thee. Continue thy goodness, we pray. O Lord, grant that greater things may be seen. The healing of souls. The strengthening of the spirit in the inner man. Christ being formed in the heart. The hope of glory. Christ dwelling in the heart by faith. Lord, help the deacons. Help them to pray, the church together with them. Lord, do pour on Zion the spirit of trouble for themselves and Lord for each other and Lord for the ingathering of thine elect and for thy servants, for the sending forth of real labourers into thy harvest. Lord, help us daily early to watch, for we know not the day nor the hour in the Son of Man cometh. O Lord, we plead, may we each be found in that moment with oil in our vessels. Lord, that seeing him come, will be truly a blessed sight. Lord, an awful sight. Oh, to fall at his feet as dead as thy servant John did. And for thee to lay thy hand on us and say, fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I have the keys of hell and of death. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee. Oh, Lord, save us, we pray. Forgive now what one's asked amiss. Make up, Lord, where we've failed in asking. Come to our aid now. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 802, singing verses 9, 10, 15, 16, and 17. Came at length the dreadful night, vengeance with its iron rod stood and with collected might bruised the harmless Lamb of God. See my soul thy Saviour see, grovelling in Gethsemane. Hymn 802, verses 9, 10, 15, 16 and 17.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Oh, how awful those people must have felt. We read that they wept much as they heard the voice of God through Moses telling them that they, because of their unbelief, because of their murmurings against the Lord, would not go into that land, but to have set before them that one who they had derided, that one whose counsel when he returned from the land of Canaan, that counsel of the Lord, to hear that he would go into that land and possess it. Oh, how awful. You know, it is a solemn truth that in the great day of judgment, when all shall be gathered before that great white throne, to hear the sentence of Almighty God in the person of his Son, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed, and the wicked shall hear that awful sentence, depart ye cursed into everlasting burning prepared for the devil and his angels, and to see the blessed, to hear the Lord say to them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. Oh, my dear friend, it is too solemn to fully describe, too awful to fully describe, to realize that eternal separation, to enter into that. You know, there will be no infidelity at the great white throne. There'll be no denying of God then. There'll be no denying of his word then. There'll be no denying that Jesus is the Christ then. How stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear? Because we may be required, those credentials may be required of us sooner than we think. We know not what a moment may bring forth. And a moment puts an end to life, sometimes shorts the warning. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is it so in secret? Is there a secret pleading of that blood sometimes? Does the Blessed Spirit draw you to the throne of grace with only that plea? Is there a watching? Is there in the type of the Israelite a sheltering by faith behind that blood? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. If you're sheltering behind something else, the destroying angel will come straight through it. But he cannot pass that door where that blood is. For that blood, it has paid that ransom. It is the ransom.
that blood has put away sin once and forever. The sin of his people. Is he thy great forerunner there? Are you brought to the heavenly intercessor? Is there that approach unto him of whom the apostles wrote? Oh, my dear friend, what a blessed high priest the apostles wrote of. He's not one that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But do we come boldly to the throne of grace? That we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Does he intercede for us? Is he thy great forerunner there? Does he speak to you from off the throne? You know those for whom the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, intercedes. For a time, he causes them to plead his name, to plead him in all that he is and all that he has done, without yet a sweet realization of his intercession. But, you know, the time comes in the Lord's leading of his people when he does give them to realize. He's a living intercessor. He's a living intercessor. Yes. Oh, he lives. And by his life, by him, his people live. And they live by the words which he speaks from that place of intercession. His Father has commanded him, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, speak righteously. It's not what you think of your case. It's not what other people think of your case. What is the sentence of God concerning your case? Are you brought before God, pleading like the psalmist did, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. My dear friend, this may be the last time I speak to you. This may be the last time I hear you hear. Pause, my soul. Oh, may the Spirit effectually and powerfully cause the Word of God. I am in no illusion that I could persuade you by any word that I speak. But I am commanded by my God to be faithful. I plead with him to make me so. For if I give not warning, the Lord will require the blood of your souls at my hand in the day of judgment. Oh, and the warning is this, except you have Christ, you must perish. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Whatever else you have. But oh, the blessed word of the gospel. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. That unspeakable gift, which I've said in the word of Scripture, you must have if you are to live. The unspeakable gift which is Christ, God saith of him, ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. Oh, to whom did he give his dear Son? To whom did he give his Son? He gave his Son to his people, yes. But what was their condition? God commendeth his love toward us, said the apostle, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul goes on to say in another place, if when we were enemies to God,
We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Much more should we be saved by his life. By his life. Now, the one in the text, the one that God commends, because of his own work in that one, because of his blessed spirit upon that one, my servant Caleb. My servant Caleb. I know the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you sons, for all things that the Father hath commanded me I have made known unto you. But those that are sons of God, and Caleb surely was one, even at this time the Lord spoke of him as his servant, the Lord's servants, the Lord's sons do serve. Not in the legal way of a servant. Not in the flesh. Not serving him to think that by serving him they will earn wages. By serving him they will gain heaven by their service. But that sonship, the blessed spirit of his son sent forth into their hearts. That blessed spirit of his son is active in his people. By their fruits ye shall know them. James writes, doesn't he? Faith without works is dead. Justified by faith, yes, before God. Not one of the works of the Lord's people. Not even the fruits of the Spirit in a child of God, not one of those things contributes to the justification of that sinner before God. No, 'tis by the finished work of Christ. But where a sinner is favoured to receive the virtue of Christ, the virtue of the finished work of Christ, they don't only receive an imputed righteousness, but as dear Philpott put it in one of the portions recently, they receive imparted righteousness. That is the sanctification of Jesus Christ. For their sakes, he said, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them, Holy Father, through thy word. Thy word is truth. But my servant Caleb. But then I think of that question. Those people asked the Lord Jesus when they said, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he has sent. Yes, that is the work of God. It is God's work in his people. And it is that with which God is well pleased. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Why is faith so pleasing to God? Why is that believer so pleasing to God? Because he sees in that one his own work. And because in that believer there is a manifest union. There's an agreement between that believer and God himself. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But what is this point on which the believer and God are agreed? In his way of salvation. God's way of salvation. when John, the Apostle John, was speaking of the awful condition of men in unbelief. Unbelief, not the unbelief that is, I'm speaking here and the apostle there was writing, not of that poor sinner that is troubled with unbelief, who like that man in the gospel said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But that unbelief in a person wholly untouched by the hand of God. They have made God a liar, for they have not believed the record which he gave of his son. And John says what the record is. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and that life is in his son. But my servant, mine by eternal choice, mine by purchase, mine by my work in him, that is manifestly mine. And you know, Paul, when he was referring to this solemn case here, of all these great multitude of people that didn't enter into the promised land, he said, so they entered not in because of unbelief. I swear in my wrath, said the Almighty, they shall not enter in to my rest. Brethren, said Paul, let us fear, lest a promise being given us of entering in, any of you should seem to come short of it. Seem to come short of it. What does that word seem set forth? It sets forth what is apparent. And therefore it puts forward this truth, that those that enter into rest, it may be seen that they have entered into rest by the effects of that in their spirit, in their conversation, in their life, in their very demeanour. Lest any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, my servant. Oh, the Lord not ashamed to call his children brethren. The Lord Jesus, this is. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Surely, if we rightly discern this, and the Lord forgive if I don't, but surely what the Lord was speaking of there was the work of his grace in that people. His brethren, the work of grace in them being so effectual that as they walk this earth, the Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, my dear friend, do you know the grief of realizing that because you little know Christ, and therefore you little resemble him, and bear so much of the image of the earthly, you have that awful realization and that great fear. If the Lord were to come now, would he be ashamed to call me one of his brethren? We know that will not be so concerning each one of his people. But we know also that his work in each one of his people will so affect that he's not ashamed to call them brethren. My servant, Caleb. All the Lord's servants, they serve him in doing his work. They serve him by him working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because he had another spirit with him, it was the spirit of the Lord. And that's the separating thing. It's not that Caleb by nature was better than the others. He was descended from the same sinful root, Adam and Eve. But oh, he had another spirit with him. The Lord's promise fulfilled even in his case, that he would pour out his spirit upon his people. I will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put a new heart and a new spirit within you. Oh, may the Lord in mercy cause us to ponder this point. With all our religion, my dear friend, with all our profession, do we have another spirit with us? Even that spirit that the apostle wrote of to the Romans when he said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. What spirit is it that lusts against the flesh? It is the spirit of the Lord. That is, the Holy Spirit working in the heart of a child of God, in the new heart and the new spirit that he hath given, so that there is, by that spirit, an abhorrence wrought of the sins of the flesh. And by that spirit there is the only warfare that can possibly and will be victorious in the end going on, which is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Oh, when we consider tonight the awfulness of unbelief and the awful consequences of unbelief, I believe there will be in every sensible child of God in whom there is this spirit, this other spirit, this spirit of God, oh, there'll be a groaning, a crying, Lord, oh, am I one of those who's going to perish in the wilderness? Because I cannot deny it, Lord. I'm beset with unbelief. So often it dominates, so often it captivates. But oh, is there that another spirit with us? Oh, which causes us to hope against hope, to plead. Oh, to plead not on the ground of anything in ourselves, to plead not on the ground of anything we can do, but to plead what God has said concerning his Son. And is there by this means, God's means, sometimes at least a measure of a blessed overcoming? Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, so that that one is not always held by unbelief. So that one does not live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, year after year, in unbelief. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and if there be one or more here this evening, and you say, oh, I don't know that this another spirit is with me. Well, my dear friend, if you don't know, may the Lord give you to plead with the Lord, with him, to make it plain. Lord, if I have not thy Spirit with me, if I am not born again of thy Holy Spirit, or if now in my soul's experience, sensibly, manifestly, effectually thy spirit is withdrawn, oh, do in mercy, come and return. He had another spirit because he had another spirit with him. This word so clearly places all the glory in Caleb's case on the Lord himself, doesn't it? Because he had another spirit with him. Yes. And who can tell, my dear friend, when we consider the characters in the Word of God that have had this blessing, another spirit with them. Who would have thought Manasseh, practicing witchcraft, slaying men and women so that Jerusalem's streets ran with blood, would one day have another spirit with him? But he did. Jacob, David, Solomon, Jonah, Mary Magdalene, the adulteress taken in the very act, the Gadarene, the dying thief. But my dear friend, thy having another spirit, the Lord sets it forth in his word, the sovereignty, the freeness. Not that we should assume that we have, nor assume that one day we shall have, but that we may be caused to examine ourselves. What did that another spirit do for those people? If that is not done in us, what evidence do we have that another spirit is with us? None at all. None at all. It is clear from Scripture that the Lord, he deals with his people, he works in his people in varying depths. And in different ways, the diversity of his operation. But he must be born again, said the Lord to Nicodemus. That's not something that is different in some cases than other. And when the Spirit is come, he shall convince of sin, said the Lord. That's not something that is different in some than others. And he'll also convince of judgment and of righteousness, said the Lord. That's not something that is different in some than others. Because he had another spirit. Lord, grant me thy spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He had another spirit with him. What then did that blessed spirit with Caleb do for him? Oh, how strong it made him. Not strong in himself, but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That spirit that was with Caleb caused him to believe God's word and caused him to act according to that faith. And that really is following God fully. Not only did this spirit cause Caleb to believe God's word, but this spirit caused Caleb to believe that word in the way in which he walked it out. Be ye doers of the word, said the Lord Jesus, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, it speaks of the invincible power of the Holy Spirit of truth. It speaks of the overcoming power of Almighty God in a sinner.
the fact that 10 of the spies out of the 12 had given, and they had spoken first, remember, had given a completely different account and spoken to the people in a completely different way. Then Caleb and Joshua following, for Caleb wasn't the only one, Joshua also had this blessed spirit with him. But, oh, you see, it's the Spirit of God. What a blessed thing it is when the Spirit of God comes upon a man. It came upon Jaaziel in the midst of that congregation when they're having that prayer meeting. Oh, Judah, their wives and their little ones before God to ask help of God. Then upon Jaaziel in the midst of the congregation came the Spirit of the Lord. Fear not, O Jehoshaphat, and you men of Judah. The battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall have no need to fight in this battle. Strong. Oh, it needed some courage, didn't it? It needed some fortitude to stand up. But you see, it wasn't a vaunted strength. It wasn't a strength in self-confidence. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. Let us go up at once. That spirit that is with Caleb and with these blessed people of the Lord, why, it makes them feel very small and insignificant themselves. But it's such that are strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he, when I am weak, then am I strong. He thought he could go on in that matter, the ministry, much better if he didn't have the thorn in the flesh. But God knew better. Oh, and when God spoke to him, oh, he was strengthened much more than if he'd had the thorn removed. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, said Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The infirmity, God's wise and merciful hand upon me, causing me continually to be dependent upon God, and by that way, the power of God being mercifully granted, the power of Christ. All that power of Christ is only to meet the sinner's needs. And it's only a sinner that has needs that knows that power. It's only that sinner that has impossibilities that knows the power of Christ. With God, nothing is impossible. Caleb, with the spirit, this other spirit with him, he didn't belittle the difficulties. He told the truth. Oh, what a blessed spirit, the spirit of truth. To declare things as Job put it to his three friends, and they hadn't done it, because this spirit wasn't with them. To declare things as they are. Caleb declared things as they are. The Lord Jesus above all other. Oh, how he in his perfect, blessed, holy ministry declared things as they are. In a sweet and a blessed simplicity, but with a depth. Now, then, oh, you see, this other spirit that is with the Lord's people is that which shows them the difficulties, the giants. The giant sin, the giant Satan, the giant self, the giant this world. It shows them the great walls the surrounding cities, the impossibilities, the great mountains. Oh, my dear friend, where shall we begin in describing what this Spirit shows the Lord's people? Why, the time is limited, I see, the time almost gone, but what does the Spirit show these people, the Spirit that is with these people? Why, there are so many difficulties. Why, regarding them, it is wholly impossible. With a will as crooked as theirs, with a heart by nature as deceitful as theirs is, oh, with a nature so completely unable to fulfill the law, and with, oh, what a solemn thing this is when a sinner realizes, because this Spirit is with them, the Spirit of God, that they of themselves are wholly and absolutely incapable of taking this land. They of themselves cannot know how it can be taken. Oh, the person of Christ, God's way of saving sinners. Oh, when this sinner realizes the impossibility of savingly knowing him, when the sinner realizes the impossibility of them entering into, savingly, his blessed death. But this other Spirit, the Spirit of God with Caleb, if the Lord delight in us. Yes, what a beauty in those few words, if the Lord delight in us. That's the very language of faith. You see, it's not if we can please the Lord. No, if he delight in us, if he favour us, or if he visit us with his salvation, or if his eye is upon us for good, and in his word he declares that his eye is upon his people for good. And blessedly, the word of God brings this down in the ministry of the gospel in the Old Testament and in the New to this. The Lord delights to hear the beggar's knock. His heart is moved, the heart of God is moved with the pressing need of his people. We read of the children of Israel who had grieved God with their sins in the times of the judges. But oh, under the Lord's solemn judgments, he looks again upon them in all their distress, enemies perplexing them, oppressing them, harassing them. And we read the soul of the Lord was grieved because of the condition, the affliction of the children of Israel. Because another, he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Followed me fully. Followed the Lord. Yes. Oh, to hear the Lord's voice and be a follower of him. For the Lord to make himself known in going before. Now, how was it that the Lord had gone before Caleb in this matter, and how was it in which he followed him? The Lord had gone before Caleb in speaking the promise that he would bring the children of Israel into Egypt. That's the Lord going before his people. In speaking that word to them in such a way that faith cometh by that hearing. Now, you see, oh, what a blessed thing the Lord had promised the people. The land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. And those spies had gone into that land, and what plenty they had brought back, that huge bunch of grapes. So huge that it required that a staff between the shoulders of two of them to carry it. Now, Oh, what hath God in his blessed word has said he will give to his people? Oh, he has said he will give them eternal life. He has said he will give them a blessed righteousness to justify them from all their iniquity. He has said he will give them food for their souls. Oh, those grapes of Eshcol. The blessed flesh and blood of the Son of God. Except ye eat that flesh and blood, said the Lord, ye cannot live. You've no life in you. He has said he'll give his people heaven. Now Canaan doesn't only represent heaven. It represents a rest in Christ. Now that is what God has promised his people. That is what he speaks. And the spirit he gives his people causes them to believe that promise he has spoken. On what terms has he said he'll give that? Has he said that they will come into that land, into that rest, by their own endeavours? Has he said there's no difficulties in coming into that rest? No. As he said, you must win it by your own strength. You must sharpen your own swords. You must believe yourself. You must repent yourself. No. Oh, here is the blessed promise of God. I will give it to you. I will give it to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that following of him. You see, the Lord by his word, and by his own spirit in this person, he causes that one to be dependent on the Lord. Now that's following him. Joseph Hart puts it like this, doesn't he? Thy whole dependence on me fix. Nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. And that's the way the Lord leads his people. Jesus, God's dear Son, his incarnate Son, making the mountains a plain. Oh, what's this following then of the Lord Jesus? I thought in the vestry just before the service in connection with this word, what the Lord Jesus said to Peter just before his ascension. And the Lord Jesus had said in prophecy what was before Peter. And Peter said to the Lord, and what should this man, what should John do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Yes, follow thou me. It means by the Lord's word being directed to keep close to him, to keep close behind him. If we're before him, we're wrong. And if we're his, we shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. But you see, oh, this spirit that the Lord granted Caleb, by that spirit, the sinner finds the Lord exceedingly attractive. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Ah, sinner, if you have this another spirit with you, from time to time, you may mourn the smallness of it, but he'll cause a little love to God to bubble up in your soul. And that love will overcome everything else. That love is greater than the love you husbands have to your wives, and you wives have to your husbands. and you parents after your children, and it's greater than the love you have to this world. Blessed love. The love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, that dear woman, who Simon the Pharisee couldn't understand why the Lord Jesus was letting her touch him. Oh, she loved the Lord. Why? She had heard what God had said about his son. And if God has spoken to you about his son, what he has said has made you love God and love his dear son. And love the Holy Spirit too, for he is that one that reveals his son. Because Christ is altogether lovely. There's nothing unlovely in Christ. How true that was, what the Lord Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. There was nothing whatever in the Lord Jesus Christ why any should hate him. It's only because of the wickedness of men's heart. No, but it's only by this another spirit with us that we're caused to love him. And so there's this conflict. Daily conflict. But the Lord has promised grace shall overcome. Because he had another spirit with me and hath fully followed me fully. Followed me fully. That is, to the end and in every circumstance, followed me fully. Oh, the Lord blessedly grant us this speaking by him again and again to us, so that we are caused to follow him fully. Ah, when by his powerful word he does not allow anything in the end to turn us finally away. There may be things that for a time draw us aside, draw us back, but the Lord's Spirit with us, the Lord's word again spoken to us, causing us to return from our wanderings back to him. But I would speak of it like this. In the interpretation of this word with regard to the entering into the rest which is in Christ, the following the Lord fully. Oh, the not resting until the Lord bring us into the promised land. The not resting until he say to our soul, thy sins are forgiven. That is following him fully. But remember, it's following him. Look at what these Israelites did. When they realized, when they heard the sentence of God, they said, we've sinned, let us go up to the mount. But God had said not to do that. God had said, turn ye and go into the wilderness. What they were doing then was not following God. For following him is obeying his voice. And following him fully is obeying his voice right to the end. And this is something which we cannot do of ourselves. It's only with this Spirit of the Lord with us that we can follow him fully. For what does this follow him fully mean? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh, my dear friend, what a mercy to be so wrought upon by God that we are made willing, we are enabled to deny ourselves. For you see, if we're at rest without being brought into rest by Christ, there must be something of self that is holding us up, that is giving us rest. But that something of self that is holding us up and giving us rest will one day awfully let us down. That something of self which says at a more convenient season, call for me. That something of self that says, well, I've gone to chapel, I know the gospel, I've lived an outwardly upright life, I've had an answer to a prayer in a providential thing, and surely the Lord therefore has saved my soul. My dear friend, he that hath the Son hath life. The Lord's people, they do have answers to providential prayers, but they must also have answers to spiritual prayers. They must also have a living faith given them in Christ. They must also see him by faith and be brought to rest in him. He hath followed me fully. And oh, what this means, leaving. To follow him fully. What it means to leave everything. Not necessarily physically, but to count everything else dung and dross. What things were gained to me, said the apostle, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Ah, that's following him fully, that I may win Christ. To follow the Lord. He says he'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. I'll make darkness light before them. What does that mean then? Following him. He said he'll bring the blind. Following him then means coming behind him, as it were, and begging at his mercy seat. Lord, thou said thou bring the blind, and I'm a blind one. Lord, bring me. But when he says, this is the way, walk ye in it, to follow him, when that means leaving this, forsaking that. Ah, things come so close, don't they? They must do. But oh, what is it that at every point causes a sinner to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Isn't it the attractiveness of Christ? Isn't it the attractiveness of what he promises? Oh, sinner, what is it? Your sins or Christ? Your idols or heaven? What is it? Oh, a short season, the pleasures of sin for a season? An eternal misery? Or to be separated by the call of God? An eternal bliss to be with Christ, which is far better. And hath followed me fully. Well, if any of us are asking tonight, why is it I'm not in this rest? The Lord in the text gives us the answer. We have not followed him fully. We've been turned aside. Oh, what is the remedy for this? Not to say, oh, we'll now follow thee fully, Lord. Not to say, oh, we'll up, and as Berridge says it, up I get, and with human arms see what I can do, but all in vain, he says. No. What is the way that the Lord directs, calls a sinner even in such a condition? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, rescue me. I've gone astray, Lord, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. And hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Yes, he went into that land. He went in faith. And that sets forth a poor sinner that by faith has seen the good of the land. And by faith believes that God will bring him in whereinto he went. Yes, not to be a spy in the land, but to dwell in the land. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Broom is expected to preach on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 708. As when a child secure of arms hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
forgive all that has been of self. Do bless thy own word. May it remain with us. O Lord, do grant that thy spirit may be with us, that we may fully follow thee, Lord. Draw us. Do keep us safe now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.